Hello, everyone. My name is John Johansson, and welcome to the Resounding Shofar Blast. This is our first podcast, and with that, our focus today will be to introduce you to the Resounding Shofar Ministries. To begin with, I grew up in a Christian home. Growing up, I remember hearing a lot of talk regarding the end times, specifically the rapture and the tribulation period. I wonder how many of you can relate to that. I remember my family going to a drive-in theater to watch The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, and I remember seeing the movie Thief in the Night, a movie about the events surrounding the rapture. And what about the stories of people picking up hitchhikers who would suddenly mention that the angel Gabriel is putting the trumpet to his mouth only to have them suddenly disappear from a moving vehicle? I don't know how true those stories were, but it was all a part of the talk. There was a lot of excitement in those days for the return of Jesus for his followers, and that was in large part because the birth of the nation of Israel took place in 1948, followed up by Israel reclaiming Jerusalem as its capital as a result of the 1967 war. Both of those events were a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, namely Bible prophecy regarding the end times. We read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 32 and 35, or 32 through 35, and these are the words of Jesus. "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things," and this is referring to the events, the signs that Jesus was talking about prior to this passage in this chapter, "know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." That generation he's referring to is the generation that sees Israel become a nation, and it'll be that same generation that will not pass away without seeing the signs of the times, so to speak, that Jesus mentioned earlier in that passage, in that chapter. In this passage, the fig tree is symbolic in the Bible of the nation of Israel, and this passage refers to the growth of a nation that did not exist in the time of Christ, but as of May 1948, Israel became a nation that still exists to this day. As a junior higher, during a time that God was trying to get my attention, end-time events were scary for me. Even though I'm told that I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 5, something that to this day I don't remember, I had a fear of the tribulation period and being left behind at the rapture. Can any of you relate to that? With that backdrop, God used various situations in my life to show me I could die at any time. And if so, I was not ready for eternity with Him. It seemed like this period in my life lasted for about 6 months or more, a time when God was trying to get my attention to fully recommit my life to Him. It wasn't until March 29, 1980, that I finally surrendered my life to Him, and ever since that day I have been excited about end-time events. What was once scary to me became something I was now excited for. Since that time, my focus has been first and foremost to live in a way that honors and pleases Jesus, my Lord and Savior. As the years went by, I began to see a couple things happening in the American church. One, the church was teaching and preaching less and less about Bible prophecy, especially about the rapture and the tribulation period, and two, less and less teaching and preaching about the need to live holy and to embrace righteousness as a way of life for Christians, being replaced more with social issues and the seeker-sensitive movement. As I began to see more and more of that taking place, I started to have a burden for Christians who were apathetic towards the return of Jesus for His bride, and because of that, they were not very serious in maintaining a right relationship with Christ. In a nutshell, knowingly continuing in sin as though there was no need for them to repent and turn away from it. A scary place to be in. As the burden grew for Christians who were not truly looking for the return of Jesus at any time, and for those who don't see the need to live free of unrepented sin in their life, and repentance means to turn away from it, the Lord birthed within me a ministry called Resounding Shofar. The shofar, a horn made from an animal's horn, was sometimes used to gather people together for a special event or meeting that was to take place, or to call the armies together for battle. As such, I felt the need, and I still do, to sound a call for Christians, reminding them that Jesus could return at any given moment and that they needed to make sure they were ready for him when that time comes. A few years ago, my wife and I made a move to New Mexico to be of assistance to my in-laws. And since being here, my eyes have been opened even more to both the apathy and the deceptions that plague the American church. Something else that adds to this burden I have is how little Bible prophecy and end-time events are being taught and preached in churches, and from what I understand, isn't even being taught in Bible schools and seminaries, or at least some of them. I recently heard that 51% of Christians have no understanding or knowledge of the Great Commission, and then I just heard the other day that almost half of practicing Christian millennials believe it is wrong to evangelize. Both statistics only reflect how little Bible prophecy and the Great Commission is taught and encouraged within the American church, a sad indictment of Christian leaders in our day. As a result, many who call themselves Christians are unaware and unprepared for the rapture and the subsequent end-time events prophesied in the Bible. Resounding Shofar started with a monthly newsletter. Several years later, I started writing online blog posts for it, which were also promoted through Twitter and Facebook, something that I still do to this day. It has only been recently that I began to seriously consider doing podcasts, of which this is the first one. My desire is to reach out and challenge anyone who calls themselves a Christian to reevaluate their life and relationship with Christ. I want Christians to ask themselves two simple questions. Are you looking for and expecting Jesus to return at any given moment? And two, are you truly ready when that time comes? These are two basic questions, but they need to be asked by each person who calls themselves a Christian, and not just once, but many times, oftentimes. Before I end today's podcast, I must ask each of you the same two questions I just mentioned. First, are you looking for and expecting Jesus to return at any given moment? Before you answer that question, don't just look at what the answer should be, but look at whether your life reflects and supports your answer or not. Second, are you ready for Jesus when that time comes for him to return? Or are you just living life as you deem best and ignoring the Bible as the standard for Christian living? If you are not looking for or expecting Jesus to return at any given moment, like possibly within the next few seconds, then you need to follow Jesus' command to the church of Sardis to repent and to start watching for him to return. If you are not ready for him to return, now is the time to get ready. If there is sin in your life, which is basically anything and everything that is not honoring or pleasing to Jesus, then you need to repent of that and seek to honor and please him in every area of your life. That doesn't mean you will be perfect and never sin, but it means that you need to have a heart that wants to remain free of sin in your life. And if you do sin, you're quick to repent and turn from it. For those who may not have a saving relationship with Jesus, there is an easy solution for you. Unlike other religions, Christianity does not require you to do works to receive salvation. Rather, it's as simple as ABC. To begin with, A stands for your need to admit that you are a sinner. Romans chapter 3 verse 10 tells us that no one is righteous, no, not one. And furthermore, in Romans 3:23, we're told that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This means that nobody is good enough, no matter how good they may be, to receive salvation. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Ephesians 2:8-9, we're told that this gift of salvation is nothing that any of us can earn or deserve. It's simply a gift that he offers us by grace and through faith. So the first thing one needs to do is to admit that they are a sinner. The second thing a person must do, and this is B in the ABCs, is to believe in their heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and that God raised him from the dead. Romans chapter 10, verse 9-10 tells us that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. It's not just a mental believing as some would like it to be, but rather a believing that dictates the way one lives their life. It's a way of life that reflects and supports what they say they believe. The third thing a person must do, and this is C in the ABCs, is to call upon the name of the Lord. you need to call Jesus Lord, and to do so means one must surrender their life to Him. There is coming a time when every knee will bow before Him, and every tongue will confess to God that He is Lord. But now is the time for salvation, and now is the time to voluntarily surrender your life to Him. And believe it or not, the eternal rewards for surrendering your life to Jesus is far greater than anything this world could ever hope to give you. Is a relationship with Jesus like I've described important and worth it? Yes! Yes, it is. I won't say that life will be easier or with less problems, but it will be more fulfilling, and with that there is a blessed hope for all Christians to embrace and pursue. More and more people are beginning to feel hopeless with life, especially when they see everything that is happening around them and around the world. But as Christians, we have a hope. We have a hope that is solid and independent of anything this world could ever hope to offer us. It is that same hope, that blessed hope, that encourages Christians to keep the faith and to continue living for Him and Him alone. Are you one of those who place their trust and hope in Jesus? I pray that you are. Because in the world we live in now, hope is fleeting. The only hope that remains is the blessed hope of eternity with Jesus and salvation. Have a good day. Thank you. Hi, this is John. I just want to take a moment to tell you about a book I wrote called A Glory-Filled Future, Understanding the End Times and the Marriage Connection. In this book, the focus is on the relationship between Jesus and His followers, the Church, and how it closely resembles the Jewish marriage customs of the Old and New Testaments. As we look at the connection between our relationship with Jesus and the ancient Jewish marriage customs, not only do we get a better understanding of what our relationship with Jesus should look like, but we also get a clear idea of where the Church fits into biblical end-time prophecy. An easy book to read, I strongly encourage you to get your copy today. This book would also make a good gift for friends and loved ones. The book is available through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and most any other book retailers.